and welcome to episode 27 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today, in a new order, is...
Lydia Nicholas.
James Ross.
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
And who are you playing?
Zazolsmith.
Sasha Rackett.
It's a version to McGuffingham.
Hamid Salah Harun Al Tahan.
Oh, look at you.
Bam! I fear change that.
You should just intimidate it down.
Yeah. That's me doing an intimidate check against novelty.
The sands of time. Yeah. No! No!
Luckily,
scare them back upwards through the hourglass.
Luckily, you have plus one versus fear. So.
Okay.
Plus one versus jingoism still yet to make it way through.
Massive penalty when confronting jingoism as a concept. It's not something he's really equipped to deal with.
obviously, you guys have, quick recap, you are chasing up a bunch of different leads.
Yep.
We mentioned them in the last session. And you've been through Kew Gardens. You headed on to Dover. And basically, a lot of people are getting very annoyed at the cult of Poseidon in Dover. A lot of people getting a bit shirty with it. In fact, to the point where you find yourselves in a bit of a riot, but it's okay because Bertie shouted loudest.
Yep.
So that's that problem solved.
How you solve all arguments is by being as loud and obnoxious and threatening as possible.
The squeaky wheel might get the oil, but the screaming wheel gets anything it wants.
That is the appropriate attitude for the member of the British upper classes. Yeah. So, well role played.
So, last thing that happened was basically everyone was getting led back out, gently being de-weaponed, etc. And you've been invited to dinner at the officer's mess by a currently unnamed commander who recognised you as the Rangers, London Rangers. We're working on a name. Okay, so we are on our way, walking through a storm, admittedly, to the officer's mess. Go. I'm pretty impressed to meet you guys. Figured you would impress me if I ever met you, and I have to say I've not been disappointed.
All in a day's work, I guess.
So why were they, rioting and stuff?
It's these storms. They've,
Is this not normal weather for us, I wonder?
When was the last time you heard of a storm that lasted almost 4 days?
I grew up underground.
Yes. Right, well, I mean, honestly, it's peculiar. As he's walking, by the way, he's leading the way. The naval men of war are sort of dealing with the situation. He's striding off. I should give you a physical description whilst we're going. He is of a slight build. He's not a bulky man. Very, very tight in a uniform, very well fit. Little bit of brocade, but it's more what is required to identify rank rather than the kind of Bertie ostentation.
He's not a pompous man.
No, not at all. Very, very cleanly clipped, crew cuts, the whole nine yards. Give me a perception check, everyone.
12, 9, 11, 26.
Mm-hmm. All of you can recognise that he seems to be carrying an unusual sword. Certainly, profession sailor, it's not a normal officer's sword by any stretch. You recognise it as, from the time you spent with Gusset and something, it's probably an antique, and you suspect it's probably even adamantine.
Can I appraise it?
Yeah, you can.
That's not the best role for my appraise, but I suppose we are walking down the street.
So in a storm where you can, it keeps occasionally gusting you.
15, I appraise his sword.
15, it is of a significantly higher value than an officer would be able to afford. It would feed a normal family for maybe a year.
Golly.
It is anomalous for someone in his position to have a weapon like that. It is unusual. It doesn't mean he's got a big magic sword or anything, but it's peculiar. It's a weird fact.
Maybe he's an ex-adventurer.
Exactly. There's something to it.
What species is he?
Human. And he appears to be young. Certainly profession sailor, young for a commander. Mm. Very, very much so. And he's walking very clipped, very strideful, purposeful. He seems very with it, very on it, despite the accent. He may not have that in his voice, but certainly in his manner, very efficient. I've got to say, it's not often that we have anything like this, and we've been having a lot of the storms recently, but until that, it's been a bit strange.
What do you mean, a bit strange?
Well, I mean, the weather near the coast is obviously very tempestuous, but I've never known it to be this consistently poor.
It seems a bit unusual to me, Commander, that people would blame the cult of Poseidon. I mean, obviously responsible for the sea and potentially weather conditions, but not exactly the god of storms.
Well, the problem they've got is that the cult got themselves involved a couple of years ago. They decided that what they wanted to do was encourage some positive feeling to the community. And they actually managed to avert more than one for the sake of trade, which of course set precedent. So now every time there's a storm, suddenly whose fault is it? Because they could be stopping it.
Not the best political play, I've got to say.
Well, a lot of people were getting very, very, very upset, and I don't mean in an unjustified way, if I can be frank. There were a lot of people who were losing a lot of money, and it wasn't their fault. They were trying to help out the people, but these things happen. How about yourselves? What are you doing in Dover?
Just passing through, but held up like anyone about by the storm.
Mm. You ought to try the tunnel.
Where's this tunnel? I mean, we could do that now, really, and not bother with dinner or solving the storm.
Well, you're not really going to be able to tomorrow. Well, they only run the service in the morning. It's going to be way too late for the tunnel today. But you ought to check it out. I don't see this going anytime soon.
Yeah, and I do want to pay a visit to the temple.
I think that might be a good
remember
idea.
Remember the issues.
Oh, yes.
It's all right. It happens to everyone.
Look at some scrimshaws for a while. Sing a few shanties just to get you in the mood, you know.
Thanks for the...
I think if we can help, you know, do you know, Commander, has the cult tried to do anything about the current storm? Are they trying to break the precedent? Or?
Well, I mean, I'm no priest. Here we are. He sort of takes turning, and you're effectively entering a naval academy. Big walls, big gates, and he gravel drive, and he leads you off to the left. Large, well-lit building, very well-maintained. Clearly, it's probably meritocratic funded. A naval academy, it ticks a lot of, like, description boxes. He leads you up, and there's a gentleman at the door. Door opens, and the gentleman sort of takes the commander's overcoat and puts it on the side, offers to sort of take your coats and things like that if you want.
I look surprisingly dry.
I'll keep mine on.
Sure.
I'm going to keep my, like, leather-studded.
Oh, well, if you'll just join me here, we'll get some dinner on the go. And it's just this lot today, Gerald. At which point the man heads off and the commander leads you into a little lounge with, like, upholstered. There's a fire burning, good warm fire. Lots of very dry tactical volumes on the walls.
Bertie pops well appointed out of the papoose and lays him down next to the fire.
I do like to see a man who knows his dogs.
Bruto, this is the commander. Shake, Bruto.
Does he
roll
shake?
Roll handle animal?
Yes. Roll handle animal.
One. Natural one.
So the commander reaches his hand out. Brutor, not aggressively, reaches over, clamps his hand in his mouth and proceeds to and sort of wrestle him left and right, shaking him. The commander's like, oh.
Stop, Brutal. Brutal, you've demonstrated a surprising aptitude for linguistic misunderstanding. I genuinely thought beyond you.
At which point, the commander manages to get his hand back. Right, is he going to be safe with the staff and that?
Safe, yes. stupid, also yes.
Right, we'll see. We'll get some food for me. Someone comes along and basically puts a big bowl of what looks like leftover steak. But by the fireplace, and Brutor just straight in front of the fireplace. The commander sort of sits back, clearly at his ease. You're asking about the storms, the Poseidon lot. I don't know. They refuse. They refuse this time. It's not my place to ask. It would be very helpful, be very appreciated, no offence, but nonetheless.
Well, as you say, maybe they're trying to break the precedent if it's, you know, if it's been a problem for them, but maybe there's a better way to handle it rather than adversarially.
As the commander's talking, he's sort of taking his jacket off, putting his sword on the side, very, very at ease, sort of laying back, breaks out a cigar box and offers it to you lot if you're interested.
I slip off the sleeves from my arms.
The mini garment.
Put them back on, and suddenly I am suitably attired for a casual evening in a gentleman's club.
Please tell me smoking jacket.
Smoking jacket.
Yes!
I accept a cigar.
Bertie takes a cigar, jams it into the falcon's eye in order to light it, and then starts smacking it, while gradually taking off the rest of his armour, and he's now in his appropriate
attire. Oh my goodness,
attire.
Bertie's out of his full plate.
Bertie's out of his full plate.
What does he look like
Bear
underneath?
Bear in mind, it does take about 10 minutes, because it's like...
Coming in scales!
No, just a smaller set of full plate.
I would say that if you're getting out of your full plate, a gentleman can come along to help you.
Gentleman is coming along to help me.
Cool. And click, click, click.
Yes, click, click, click.
What do you wear underneath it? This has never come up.
Yeah.
Anything at all.
Completely news.
I was going to say, well appointed for the situation, a gentleman's club, free as the wind.
Smoking a cigar only, wearing only a wreath of smoke.
What are you wearing? I'm wearing entitlement and confidence. That's all a real man needs.
And I bet he is wearing shirt sleeves and trousers and sort of vest top.
Sure, sure.
So actually appropriate gear.
Yeah.
I presume billowy. I don't know why. Billowy in the sleeves or something. I just always imagine
He would be having to wear a gambeson.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not exactly dressed for dinner, but I'm not wearing full plate armour, which would be more appropriate.
But trying to sit down in an armchair in full plate.
Would be the first time you've been at a formal event or even an informal dinner wearing full plate, though.
Yeah, that is true, but I'm taking off for this one because it's a military occasion.
It's just peculiar to see Bertie at ease, finally.
Has he been
sleeping in the full plate? We haven't talked about it while we were in Hammond's
no,
flat.
Because there are mechanical penalties for sleeping in full plate.
Ah.
You get tired.
He's still got his rapier on him.
Okay,
formal.
I will accept the cigar and light it with spark.
Oh, cool.
Because I can do magic.
Sasha slumps into the squishiest chair that she's ever known, in her studded leather jacket, looking like the younger, rebellious child of overly boiling parents. Sort of slumping with a cigarette. Elbows are higher than her head. She's slumped so deeply in the chair. Oh, this is all right.
I know.
It's all right, yeah.
You entertain much? You said it was only us tonight. Usually...
I'm here in an official capacity whilst the ship's in dry dock. There's not a lot I can do.
So you guys are just on leave? You're not held up by the storm at all?
Oh, well, we can't leave, obviously, but it's a coincidence.
Yeah.
There happens to be a massive storm. My ship is in dry dock. I am bored. I am so very bored. And I'm not surprised that people are trying to cause trouble. Because they're bored. Because there's a lot of people sat around due to a storm that will not leave. And it's the fourth one this month. We've spent more times with storms than we haven't this month. I do not know what's going on.
Hmm. Yep. That does seem a bit out of the ordinary.
Anyone tried asking the meritocracy what's going on?
I was going to say you know what it's like. But I don't actually know. I mean, have you served? I get the impression you have. I don't know why.
I've been on board boats.
Right. Yeah.
I've also been on board boats.
Ultimately,
I haven't.
I mean, in a professional capacity.
You'll like it. It's good.
Does it move?
Yeah.
All right.
Imagine a carriage.
Yeah.
Except a lot faster.
Right.
And full of men.
Oh, all right.
Sounds brilliant.
In the name.
But honestly, yeah, it's... I mean, ultimately, it's an inconvenience. We've not lost anyone. There was a... There's a couple of drownings every year. I mean, it's water. What are you going to do? But
not drowning it. That's always been my watchword.
For the merit of...
Sir Bertrand McGuffingham sees some water. His first thought is, oh, better not drown in that. I always think it's best to remind myself of that. Just in case, you know...
Your first verbalised thought whenever you see water, Bertie, is where's the whiskey to go in it?
Yes, yes, even if it is in puddle form.
Oh, we all fit in right here. Everyone will go. I'll go down very well. But
so what are you? What are you sailing? What are you commanding? What kind of?
Oh, it's not big. It's a 30 gunner, but she's fast. Probably fastest in this part of the country. I'm not really sailing anything at the moment, am I? Really. I'm just sat here.
How quickly can you do the Hellenic run?
Well, honestly, she's not what she once was. That's why we're in dry dock. I'm babysitter here. He looks weary. Not in a, like, he's been worked hard, in a, he's clearly...
Demonstrably not.
Yeah, he's been sat around with nothing to do.
I mean, I don't mean to be rude, Commander, but I'm afraid I didn't catch your name.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Barnes. Reaches his hands out.
Hamitala Hulun Al-Fahan.
It's a mouthful.
Is it?
The rest of you, you already mentioned Sir
Bertrand.
Zolf Smith. Don't worry if you struggle with the pronunciation.
Zolf Smith.
Sasha Rackett.
Sasha Rackett.
The tea is silent.
Well, as you've said that, the doors open and Gerald sort of ushers you through into a room. It looks like there has been a big dinner, and now they've sort of set a big long table.
Didn't we already have dinner? Yeah, it's our second dinner today. I'm pretty sure that was dinner.
Hey, what does Barnes know? He just offered to take you for dinner, you said yes.
It's a dunch. We had a dunch.
But they've set something up. It's clearly the officers would all be in there at the same time, and they've just rustled you up something extra.
Yeah, it's a late supper.
Yeah, it's basically a supper.
It's the second 11s in 24-hour clock.
11 p.m.
23rds is...
So yeah, sit down, begin eating. It's good fare. It's not particularly elaborate or anything.
So like these quibbly things that are inside it's like a dish, but
oysters.
Sort of yeah. So what do I do with them?
Slurp them out.
Slurp what?
As you're saying that, the officer sort of.
Slurp them.
Right.
I eat them daintily with the oyster knife.
I put so much.
Doing it wrong.
I see the guy put the spicy sauce in, and I put so much in that when it goes down the wrong way, and I start just sneezing spicy sauce everywhere.
Oh, and you get oysters. It's going to look like horrible stringy snot coming out of your nose.
He's spicy snot.
No, it's not snotty. It's just spice. I'm in a lot of pain.
While speaking, without paying attention, he begins pouring water and passing you a glass.
Where's my eels? Just want some eels. Eels don't attack you.
So you said you've sailed. What have you been sailing?
Well, no, it was a while ago. Just here and there, jobbing sailor, you know, just freelance merchant and that kind of stuff. Nothing military, nothing like that. So just, you know, learn the trade.
A lot of non-specific sailing, basically, with no background or suspicion about it at all. That's my understanding, Exelion, and I see no reason to look into it any further.
Don't get me wrong, we just don't get many dwarves. I mean, it's not a comment. I mean, you make great sailors, it's just we don't tend to see that many.
Well, you know, just around, you know. I don't know what to say. Sorry about my people's lack of seafaring enthusiasm.
No, fair enough. So what's bringing you anyway to Dover? You said you were passing through, but...
Well, on the way to Paris?
Yeah, like, and then around the world, basically.
Potentially.
Yeah. Damascus and stuff.
Big trip.
Yeah.
Going on a grand tour for the... looking for adventure.
Any tour I'm on is a grand tour, of course.
I'm going to go to another country. It's very exciting. I hear that they don't even have Londoners in Paris.
he seems to smirk and take it just as a perfectly legitimate, interesting comment. It's good to see people, you know, getting from where they start and getting themselves somewhere, you know.
I don't
have time for people who just sort of land themselves in the best positions. You've got to work for what you want, you know?
Yeah, I hear there's catacombs. There's catacombs there, and they're just like other London, but with skeletons.
It's becoming very clear, by the way, as the conversation goes on, that he's slowly beginning to just tilt the conversation towards Sasha and Zolf, and not really bothering with Bertie or Hamid. He's not being overtly rude. He's way more subtle than that. But nevertheless, the conversation just slowly, gradually just continues and continues until he's been spending the best part of an hour talking to Sasha about various interesting things in London and keeps going on at Zolf about sailing because he's just, it's very obvious.
It's equivalent of what have you been driving lately?
He won't let it go. He's not being like obsessive about it, but he knows you've been sailing and you're dodging the question and he's smart enough to notice and just keeps bringing it up.
At the point where Sasha's had a couple of glasses of wine, she will ask about the interesting sword because it is stuff, it is shiny stuff. And she didn't want to ask anything because, you know, she was nervous. But now she's had three glasses of wine. And
it's gone up from a couple to three glasses.
Well, there was one in the interim.
Yeah, while she was describing it, she was chugging another one.
And there was the chaser, which you asked them to whisky up.
So that sword, right? That looks like a nice piece of work you got there. Like, I've been in the antiques trade in various roles, and looks like a nice piece of kit.
Carry on.
I'm actually going to roll not to smirk.
I'll tell you what, he gestures you back into the lounge. You've finish the meal anyway. He pulls it out and places it on the table and draws it.
Yeah.
I will hang back as we're moving between rooms to just, hopefully without anyone noticing, cast Detect Magic.
Go for it. On anything specific, particular?
Well, it essentially gives me magic.
I'm just curious. In general, is there anything you're particularly interested in? The sword. The sword does
but I'll
not...
look at the rest of him and
the sword
well.
Does not have any magical properties. However, he's giving off two middling ones. He appears to be wearing some kind of magical item, clothing or something. Faint conjuration from his torso, probably clothing, something similar. And he's wearing a magical ring of some kind, but it's not formidably powerful. It's a couple of items that you wouldn't be surprised to see in that scenario. But nonetheless, they are magical, but the sword's completely...
Fair enough, yep.
Special materials only. However, from your check earlier, we'll just say that you clued into it, it's probably old adamantine. You know how way back when Gusset was mentioning the patterning gets more complex? This one is the most complex thing you've ever seen. It's very, very elaborate. Like the actual blade, it's like fractals and fractals and fractals and very, very elaborate. It's a single blade with a single sharp edge and a pointed edge. And it's similar to a katana, but without the two-handed handle to it.
Is it like a dueling sword?
Yeah. Basically, it's a dueling sword. Mm-hmm. Actually, I rescued a merchant vessel a long time ago, and the man who was running it, dealing in old adamantine, he insisted I take that as a prize.
Wow.
It is quite the blade. Do you duel much? Do you fence?
I've been known to. I find the bastard sword a very slow weapon.
Well, sometimes slow and steady cuts the race to ribbons, then it falls to bits in front of you, and then everyone cheers.
Quiet. So, at which point he picks up a poker from the fire, pokes it for a second, and goes, "Very interesting material." Makes direct eye contact with Bertie and slices the poker clean in two without even so much as a vague effort, and returns it. I find speed tends to be more beneficial in these kinds of things, but of course you'd know, growing up as you did, I presume, Sir Bertrand.
Oh yes, of course. My experience is wide and diverse, yes. I wonder perhaps, you know, whether you'd be willing to perhaps part with that sword.
I find it unlikely that you would be able to offer me a price that I would accept.
Well, perhaps... something of a non-monetary value, perhaps, if we were to investigate the matter of the storms with the Cult of Poseidon and look into that.
And what exactly would you lot be able to offer that anyone else couldn't?
Well...
I'm not sure a simple service like that would be worth the price of a sword of that nature, Bertie.
He sort of places it back on its little stand at the coffee table, gives Sasha a wink and goes, "It's almost like some things can't be bought, am I right?"
Oh yeah, a lot of things. There's other ways that you've
got to
get hold of.
I feel like he looks at you, and there's a brief quizzical thing. Like he may have overestimated your ability when it came to the social dance a little bit, and just a sort of, okay, what?
So this merchant, you said they dealt in old adamantine.
Yes.
Where are they coming from? Like, where's the centre of sort of old adamantine? You know.
Well, I mean, ultimately he's a. His name was Croesus, but he deals around Turkey, that kind of thing. But, I mean, honestly, if you're after some, I wouldn't bother. I looked into this stuff, but ultimately you're not going to be able to get any.
Got to, like, hang around merchants and rescue them or something like that.
Wait until people are in danger and then resolve matters for them and be rewarded with a sword. Oh, I'm thinking out loud again, aren't I?
Well, to be fair, that's what we do with money, so...
Well, anyway, as fun as this is, you're welcome to stay here tonight. I'm presuming you haven't got anywhere set up if you were hoping to catch the tunnel.
Well, we were planning to get a boat, but we were going to find a hotel, but if you're happy to host, that would be lovely, thank you.
You're welcome.
Most creatures of you, yes.
Got guest rooms. It's the least I can do, obviously, as a reward, again, making direct hand contact with Bertie, as a reward that is suitable for the level of service that was very graciously rendered.
And
I thank him profusely.
He certainly seems to be getting on with you better.
I'm trying to sort of just put a bit of social bufferness between him and Bertie at this
and
point.
And I need to pop in at the temple anyway, so you know, I can have an ask as a sympathetic party. Mm,
sure, no worries. I find you interesting, Zolf. Something tickles me and I can't think what it is.
It's not me, I promise.
Right. Thank you.
Anyway, you're
welcome. He's a good boss.
That's good to know.
What a weird thing to say.
He stands anyway and goes, well, I have to do my rounds before I sleep. You're welcome to stay as long as you like. I'll see you in the morning, I guess.
Right.
He heads out and sort of measures each of you with a glance for a moment, then heads off.
An open smile.
He seems to quite like you.
Right. Cheers for the wine and the food with all the, even if it was dangerous food. I don't know how you guys survive on it. It's...
You usually don't put so much spice on it.
Try the port, it settles the stomach. And then closes the door.
Right.
Well, that was...
He was nice, wasn't he? Liked him.
Yeah.
I like his sword as well.
Yeah, so do I. Interesting.
Which is still there, by the way.
I look at it. I'm going to go over and I'm just going to admire and appraise it. I don't even need to know if I need to check. I just want to enjoy appraising it.
Sure.
Look, it's pretty, isn't it? I would give this on an auction market.
For insurance purposes, of course.
Yeah.
Give me a roll.
Ooh, 18 plus my appraise of 8.
Well, I'll give you the answer in a couple of minutes.
Yay.
Oh.
Test, test. Elias, hopefully if you hear this, it means I've found a way to record those difficult statements I was telling you about. While I hate to speak ill of the dead, the previous archivist left this place in such a dreadful mess, and even an organization with such an unusual focus as the Magnus Institute needs a well-organized archive. As you know, I've been going through trying to digitize and record audio versions, but I've been having trouble with a few of the more bizarre statements. There have been sufficient distortions as to make them utterly unintelligible. Thankfully, though, I managed to unearth this old tape recorder from storage, and these cassettes, archaic as they may be, are still better than nothing. So with that in mind, I thought I'd take it for a spin, as it were. I've taken the shortest of the problem statements, and I'm trying it here. Frankly, I wouldn't normally bother with something so fragmented, but it should be fine as a test. Statement of Jacob, no second name given, regarding... God knows what. Original statement given July 15th, 2011. Statement begins. It'll get you too. You can stare all you want, make your notes and your inquiries, but all your beholding will come to nothing. When the time arrives and all is darkness and butchery, you'll wish you had stopped listening and run. Statement ends. Yes, well, you see why I wouldn't have otherwise recorded it. Not exactly something for posterity, but nonetheless. Let me know if you are able to hear that correctly, Elias. If so, I think we can begin transcribing the rest of the statements. The Magnus Archives, a new weekly horror podcast by Rusty Quayle, coming soon.
And welcome back.
Hi.
So, it's probably worth a few grand, certainly.
She would be more exact than that. How many grand?
For 26, you've got to give her a number of grand.
Yeah.
Come on. Very well.
Three whole grand.
2.176 grand.
I can afford that.
3,120.
That's within our limit. We could all chip in.
Yeah, of him giving it to us. Yeah.
Mainly, there's probably a bit of a markup because of the history on it and things like that. But you can tell from it that it's incredibly well balanced.
Yeah.
As in, like, it's basically the ideal base weapon before you get into magical. Like, it's perfect in every sense of the word in design. It is an adamantine dueling sword.
Okay. What would that work like? Is
do
it?
You, what knowledge does Bertie have regarding weaponry specifically?
I mean, if it's...
Are you... You're proficient in martial weapons, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, it's an exotic weapon of which you are familiar but not trained.
Okay.
It's not as good as a bastard sword.
It's not as good as a bastard sword, but contains lots of benefits for anyone who is very, very dexterous. And it lets you do lots of very shiny, flashy, flourishy moves that aren't just looking good. They're actually mechanically very useful.
I am going to take the sword.
Yeah, if you
swing it around a bit in slight flourishes, because I have all the dexterity.
I don't think we're drunk as well, so I'm backing off.
Yeah. Give me a dexterity roll.
Sure.
Just a dexterity roll.
Oh, just in case I zero it. Oh god. Okay, 11.
So.
Yes.
You managed to not slice anyone. You come perilously close to like taking the top off a lampshade.
I really don't think we should do that. Maybe you should just put it back.
Yeah, and then I look at Hamid, I swirl it a little bit more, and then I put it back in the thing very carefully and put it exactly where it was.
I withdraw a handkerchief from my sleeve and go and just polish it.
I then, because he's making it more polished than it was, which is suspicious,
Well played.
Let's put it this way. If he actually knows how to use it, he's probably formidable with a sword.
Right, well...
I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm quite tired. I might go to bed.
Yeah, I might try some of that port first. But yeah...
Yeah, sure.
Let me teach you the technique. I shall as well. Now, this is a pause.
Sorry, can I show you my technique?
I go to bed.
Pour out a glass and drink it.
And we can just skip past to the morning. Just let me know one thing. How bad are people expecting to be before I ask for Fort Shaves on hangovers?
Sasha has had, like, 3 glasses of wine and then a couple of ports.
Give me a Fort Save.
I'm the right side of trashed. That's what I'm aiming for.
Oh, 3, oh, and then no. My fortitude is only 2.
Excellent. Give me a fort save, Zolf.
Roll a 2, so that's 8.
Excellent. Anyone else on the...
I'm drinking port, but I think Bertie's A, tolerance is quite high, and B, this is a polite evening in.
Are you doing an excessive amount for you?
Are you keeping up with us?
Yeah.
No, I'm not consuming excessive.
Anywho, you all have your own rooms. Mm-hmm. They are not 4-posters, but as close as you can get before it becomes that. Very well made, big, well appointed. Again, it's an academy and you're in guest rooms.
Any bed designed for a medium-sized creature feels palatial to me.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. Almost problematically so, but not quite. You wake up, Sasha, you feel awful, rancidly terrible. Zolf, despite your big blustery, it's fine, I'm a sailor, we know how to do this thing, you feel terrible.
I feel terrible.
Bertie, you're fresh as a daisy, Hamid. You wake up and feel itchy. Extremely itchy on your forearms and on your legs.
Oh, boy.
What?
Scratch, presumably.
Just letting you know before you pull the covers down, that's what wakes you up. It's oof.
Have we got an ensuite?
Yes.
And is there a bathtub?
Yes.
I shuffle over to the bathtub and cast Conjure Water over my head repeatedly. Just ice cold.
I was going to say, that water's not hot. That's fine. Okay.
No, that's the point.
Okay. Well, you're awake now.
Until
at least.
I feel a little bit like.
I'll probably take a bath as well if I'm itching.
As you strip down, you see that you are having a very unhealthy sheen to your skin, which appears to be flaking.
A horrible rash.
In fact, it seems to be all over.
Oh dear. I'll take a bath and hope it goes away.
It stops the itching, but the discoloration's there and still you're peeling.
What colour's the discoloration?
Metallic.
Is metallic a colour?
It's a very specific type of metal, I believe, actually.
So, what do you guys do? You've awoken and
shuffle down for breakfast.
I fill the sink with warm water and I dunk my head in it.
You feel slightly better.
That is all I do.
Brutal has been sleeping at Bertie's feet the whole night, and it's been an adorable tableau, particularly because Bertie is having that dream where he's chasing cats. He's just like this.
I love the idea that Brutal's perfectly still, and it's Bertie.
Brutal is having that dream where he wakes up naked, and it's an exam.
And he's like, oh, no, wait, I don't use your
record. I'm a dog.
But I didn't revise.
Because I'm a dog. That's why. My verbal reasoning is surprisingly acute. And yet I am a dog. We'll move on.
Zolf, you open the door to head downstairs.
Yes.
There are 2 naval police outside your door.
Morning.
Morning, sir. We'd greatly appreciate it if you could just stay inside for now.
What's going on?
Probably nothing to be concerned about, but we'd greatly appreciate it if you could stay inside for now.
Going outside our door?
Open the door, find out.
I open the door?
No.
With wet hair?
No, but you do see down the corridor, Zolf having a chat with two very, very burly naval boys.
All right, Sasha. Yeah, so I've got some friends. What's going on?
I'm afraid.
Bearing in mind, yesterday we defused the riot, so and we are the guests of Commander Barnes.
I am aware of that, sir.
So if you wouldn't mind,
I'm very sorry if you could just.
We are free agents. We can leave of our.
I am. All of your friends are perfectly have the run of the place. We're very happy to have them here. If you could just stay inside for a moment, someone will be with you momentarily, sir.
What's going on?
If you could just stay inside,
sir.
You can just stay inside, sir.
Could you please explain yourselves? I do not like the tone that's being taken here. I am not. I was invited here as a guest.
I apologise, sir. We're not trying to take a tone with you. You can just wait inside. We'll please.
Look. I'm going to start to walk out.
They reach out and bar your way. Not aggressively at all, but it's just very clear. Like, two arms come out. I'm afraid if you can just stay, sir.
Explain yourselves immediately.
I'm afraid I'm not at liberty to do that, sir. I'm under direct orders. If you can just stay inside, sir, someone will be with you momentarily.
Right. Duck under their arms.
Again, they're just reaching out to grab you. For a check if you want.
I emerge into the corridor.
You come out to Zolf having a spat.
What's going on?
I don't know. I'm being kept in my room for no particular reason. And may I remind you, I am a guest here.
I'll get the captain, the commander, the officer man.
He'll be along momentarily, ma'am. Don't worry about it.
Come on, Bruto, walk his. And Bertie emerges, like toweling himself down, dragging Bruto along on an improvised lead made from a dressing gown.
I'm waiting for you to just go making from every single complimentary item in the hotel room tied together.
Tiny shampoo bottles in there.
Bruto has himself got a tiny papoose carrying complimentary soaps. Come, Bruto, walk his down the corridor. Come on, who's a good boy?
Mm-hmm. On hearing that, come on. Commander Barnes is going to be along soon as so this is his doing then?
I'm afraid I'm not at liberty to say so, someone will be along with you momentarily if you can just wait inside.
Well, Zolf's our
He's not a prisoner.
Yeah, just
you cannot
just
hold him in this room.
Go for breakfast or something. Let's not make a scene.
I very much appreciate that, sir. I will have breakfast brought to you. It'll only take a moment, I'm sure, sir.
Much appreciated. Don't worry about it. Just keep an ear out. It's best if we don't rock the boat. This will only go worse if we,
I stomp off to find the commander.
Okay. After about 15 minutes, you run into the commander. He seems to be heading your way. He's holding a piece of paper and he has two more men in
tow. Commander, what is going on?
Oh, I'm very sorry. I just received a bit of a missive. Do feel free to help yourself to breakfast.
I must insist you tell me why Zolf is being confined to his room. This is completely unacceptable.
I understand you're upset, if you'll bear with me. I'm afraid that I'm fairly certain that Mr. Zolf would rather that I had this conversation with him. Feel free to wait outside, but nonetheless, I feel I have to have this conversation with Mr. Zolf himself.
Sasha stayed for 5 minutes watching the people, and then the allure of breakfast, which is really posh.
It's a posh breakfast.
Yeah, with like all these weird fish things in it. I go down and I have that. Come back with some food.
Bear with me on that one. And Bertie?
Bertie doesn't stick around for any minutes because he's been told things are fine by an authority figure. So he goes down for breakfast.
Both of you heading into breakfast. It's full of officers. So they have a sort of like a self-service canteen thing set up. You're welcome to join. They're quite boisterous. Bit of a boys' club, so obviously
Bertie is totally fine with that. He sits down with the officers. He brings Bruto up to the table, gets some kedgeree, scrapes it into a bowl, a bit of bacon, something like that on top of it as well, and feeds Bruto from the bowl.
I'm gonna fill a plate and then just see how crowded it is, and then go and find a quiet room and eat it there.
It's very easy. It's a very large building. It's
a bit lounge somewhere.
You can go into the secondary lounge for the smoking of post-cigar cigarillos.
And then there's a third one for cigarettes. And then...
Oh, that's second cigarettes.
Right.
And then there's afternoon tea.
And there's one for vaping.
So anyway.
I'm dogging the commander's heels back to the room itself.
So Barnes comes down the corridor, still reading the paperwork. He's being perfectly civil and polite with you.
Yeah.
Mr. Smith, would you allow me inside? We can just have a quick talk. I apologise for the inconvenience here.
Of course, Commander.
Very well.
Do you want me to come?
He's welcome to sit in if you'd like.
What's this about first?
He hands you a piece of paper.
Oh, I'm getting noted. Does it just say I really like apples.
He's welcome to join, obviously, if you'd like a witness and so on, that's fine.
Yeah, sure. Come in. Come in. Fine.
Heading inside, the two Navy boys just says it's fine, you can wait outside. He just closes the door, so it's just Barnes, yourself, and Hamid.
Yeah, I thought you were asking a lot of questions.
I do apologise, but I can recognise a Navi when I've seen one.
I was declared MIA.
Hmm. But you're not, are you? You're here.
Yes, and if you want to take it up with the Church of Poseidon, I found a different calling.
I do apologise, but I'm afraid you're under my jurisdiction currently. Do not get me wrong, this is not bringing me any pleasure, but nonetheless, you are AWOL, and you know you are.
All right, what do you intend to do about it?
What I have to do is off. I'm afraid that these gentlemen are going to escort you down. You're going to be held in a temporary cell and you'll be taken for a court-martial.
Just court-martial me now.
I'm not able to give you a court-martial. You have to be court-martialed between...
Yeah. Actually, look, right. Brass tacks on a mission for the meritocrats. So actually, I think they kind of outrank you. So,
do you have any paperwork to confirm that?
Did we?
I don't think we did, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
No, we didn't, because we were supposed to keep on the down low.
Yep.
Good ones, off. No. Just, right, okay. So, fine. I'll buy my commission off of myself.
Fair enough. If you just, I'm afraid you'll have to wait in the cells. You know how this works, and then...
We don't have the time.
Well, I'm very sorry that I'm inconveniencing you, but nonetheless, the case remains that you are AWOL. You are absent without leave. You are...
That was 6 years ago.
That's worse. That's not better. I don't understand how that's meant to ease the situation.
But exactly what is his legal status? Commander, my understanding is that a designation of MIA or AWOL would be cancelled to presumed dead within a 3-year window. Is that not correct?
However, it's very evident, and given the fact that I have had to make inquiries over the communications network earlier, that this is nonetheless Zolf Smith, that I'm afraid, yes, he would have been declared missing in action, as he says, but nonetheless, he's here standing, and ultimately, I can't let him go on a technicality. I don't know what to tell you.
You can. That's usually how people get out of things.
It seems to me, Commander, that if his legal status is in fact dead, then there is very little that can still be done. The case would already have been closed and sealed.
Nonetheless, I don't know what to tell you. No, I'm standing in front of a man who should have been serving his...
All right, has this been reopened by the larger organisation? Or is this you?
He hands you a piece of paperwork saying, for the man suspected as Zolf Smith, please detain for confirmation and potential court-martial. It's a direct, like, meritocratic order from his superiors.
Don't think I'm getting out of this one.
How much is the commission, Zolf, to buy it off?
I mean, it's more we've just got to wait for me to be court-martialed. I don't care if I...
Even if he pays his commission, he is going to be looking at a week wait for someone to come.
A week?
At least.
At least?
At least. Look, he'll probably avoid a court-martial. He probably won't get deported. He's got his...
Where are they going to deport me to?
Australia. Won't be the first time someone's been deported for being AWOL, but nonetheless, the case remains that I can't bend this for you. He'll probably buy his commission, it's fine. Besides, the Poseidon lot do have some pull, but nonetheless, you're not under their jurisdiction here. You're under mine. Look, you got 5 minutes. This isn't meant as a personal thing, but nonetheless, you will be taken downstairs.
Right.
Feel free to pack your things. He heads out.
Please. Do you want to grab the others?
Okay.
And bring them back here quickly. I'll start packing up.
Sure. It takes a little bit longer to find Sasha for the simple reason that she's found a little nook somewhere.
I found a cubby hole. It was lovely. Ate a lot of herring. Kippers.
Was it Gerald?
Gerald the kipper.
Gerald the butler guy, I mean. I can't remember his name. Was it Clive Gerald? Forgotten. He's called Clive.
Okay. Clive Gerald.
Clive Gerald. It's a hyphen name.
Yeah.
Clive Gerald finds you. He's an elderly man, and then he proceeds to just sequester loads of the breakfast foods till you have a whole little buffet in this little cubby hole.
I'm incredibly happy.
There's still quite a lot of fish.
If you wrenched away from your fish nest.
Yeah, it wrenches me from my fish nest.
He takes some time to finally extricate Bertie from the...
But I was busy carousing. I'm having my breakfast carouse. It's important for the constitution.
Well, skip ahead to you are all in Zolf's room.
Right, so if they're like, I can bust you out of jail.
Not if jail is Australia.
At that, Sasha looks quizzical, thinks, but how far away is Australia?
Australia is the biggest jail of all.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so we might have to cut our trip to the temple short and just make a run for the train.
Can't you, like, claim religious freedom and be free to do the religion?
Tried that.
Right.
I have a certain amount of legal knowledge, Mr. Smith, which I would be happy to employ in your service. I would regard myself as one of the finest advocates in this room.
Right.
He's got, like, ghost lawyers following him.
He does. So
can they help us?
Probably too expensive. We really should make a move if we're going to make a move.
Right. All right, out the window.
Is there a window?
There's a knock, knock, knock. Mr. Smith,
is there a
if you're ready. Yes, there is.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to, like, grab Zolf, I guess, and climb out onto a ledge on the window, if that's the thing.
Mr. Smith
give
is
give me
just
a perception check.
Oh, 16 plus... every time I need to check it, why can't I learn this? 8.
Give
so
me a... whatever you were going to say.
Yeah, so Mr. Smith is just dressing himself into decency, and it's essentially a bluff check for the guards behind the door.
Give me the bluff.
Bluff and no modifiers. Oh, plus one. 10 plus 1 is 11.
11? You've got 1 minute. Sorry about this. Opening the window and looking outside, you see 3 men waiting at the base.
Oh.
He's not an unintelligent man.
look around the room for places to hide a dwarf.
I don't...
I'm good at hiding stuff.
Sasha, I appreciate it. I don't...
Like, look, I could get you. Oh, the banner
I'm not look,
over
yeah.
the bed. I could hide you
even,
there.
Even if we get out, I'm not going anywhere with this, pointing on my peg leg. I'm not... We're not... There's...
Are we going to have to...
Put you in a drawer.
Deal with it another way.
We're going to have to deal with it another way. I'm not going to be able to...
It's just a delay. There's no... We won't let you get sent to Australia.
Do we have a bag of holding?
The only one who knows about it currently is Sasha, because she never shared it with the rest of you.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't put something... that's alive in a bag of holding.
To stop exactly this.
Okay, cool, fair enough.
Otherwise you're like, I keep my army in my... You could literally go...
And it's full of squid and octopus.
They're
all
dead squid.
I don't know if it's impossible for
train
to
thing.
I don't think there's any oxygen in them.
Oh, but this is the thing we're suggesting. So there's no way of just like, one of us just like breathing into the bag the whole time.
I think there's a...
Can we hide him in your papoose?
I was thinking about the papoose, but it's not a hiding thing.
That's brutal.
Mr. Zolf.
I open the door.
I apologise for this. We'll hopefully get it done as
soon
as possible.
Just stop apologising, for goodness sake.
He takes the pack of cards, which he was about to pass to you, puts it back in his pocket and gestures for you to follow the 2 men.
So there are 3 guards in total?
There were 3 guards down at the outside the window looking up, and there were 2 guards who were by the door, and Barnes has been going around with 2. So ultimately, there are 2 who are heading off.
Mm-hmm.
Barnes, 2 behind him,
and
currently in the corridor.
Breakfast hall full of
officers.
Navy people and officers down between us.
You can intimidate them all. So, in terms of the layout of the complex, if we got past this cluster of guards who are immediately here, will we then be more or less...
I don't think this is going to be a situation that's possible. I don't know.
Depends.
Also, Hamid might well not help.
That's why
you
kill
naval officers who are just trying to do their job.
I'll stomp after Barnes.
I slip playing cards, which I have, pointedly to Zolf, seeing that the other guy like.
How does one slip something pointedly?
I'm standing next to him. I'm looking directly in Barnes's face and hand them to Zolf. So it's a small gesture, but Barnes could see that I gave him.
Everyone, give me a perception check.
Ooh.
20.
Natural 20.
Natural 20.
Oh. Whoa!
Golly, I've got a low one.
I'm natural 20.
Yeah.
Abomination of a 20.
I'm only on 17.
Some
it's about
say
as low as it
this
goes
20
to
was 28.
So, given
total
that,
for me.
Hamid and Bertie both have natural 20s on this perception roll.
But my score is 28 and yours is 19.
That is
so
true.
Different nonetheless.
Yes. As you are walking along, Bertie, you notice there's something very strange going on with Hamid. There is something up with him, hidden behind a collar and behind cuffs and so on. But there is something very off happening with Hamid.
Hamid.
Yes?
Hamid. Is your body going through some unexpected changes?
And we'll close there. Okay, cool. Thanks for listening.
Next week on a very special episode of Rusty Quill.
Everybody molts.
I hate you guys. You're not my real dad.
Right, I think we'll close there with administrative peril for the first time.
Bureaucracy.
God, having to deal with the justice system after being serial murderers. Ugh.
Yeah. Murdered anyone, Bertie.
I mean, we've definitely murdered people. Maybe in self-defense, we've definitely murdered people.
I mean, we brought them back.
So much blood.
They got better.
Oh, I suppose, actually, yeah, it was the Byron's sister.
So while we discuss the nuances of murder, we'll be back again next week, and thanks for listening.
Bye! Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening. Recognised you as the Rangers, London Rangers. We're still working on a name.
That is our full name, thank you. We've trademarked that.
I love the fact that you guys finally have a catchphrase and it's "We're working on a name." It's very us.
Better than "I need to get a better sign off."
Hey, my sign off. My sign off is excellent, and I keep ending.
Searing burn. I guess it's over now.
All of you are going to have slightly more annoying voices in this edit, and everyone's going to go like, "Oh, that sounds unpleasant in my ears," apart from Alex's sultry tones. Mm.
Sultry tones.
So heavy editing angle on your side, then.
Yeah. I dare you to make Ben's voice sound unsultry.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a voice that whenever I
you
think
have
about...
to play a character with I that just, voice yeah, at some
look,
point.
I just need to play Peter Serafinowicz.
Whenever I think about your speaking voice, Ben, the only phrase I can imagine it saying is, "I've just got out of the shower."
That sort of voice. Do me a favour, in that voice, "I'm on a horse."
I'm on a horse.
I'd buy Old Spice from
that. I would buy your aftershave. I'm not really selling anything at the moment, am I, really? I'm just so sat here.
How quickly can you do the Hellenic run?
Fast enough. Less, I was about to say.
No. No.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
No.
Yes. Star Wars.
Kessler run.
Less than 1 parsec.
Yeah. No.
Give me a roll.
Ooh, 18 plus my appraise of 8.
Well, I'll give you the answer in a couple of minutes.
Yay.
Ooh. Hi. We'll be back after this break on this episode of Antiques Roadshow.
No, I don't know what to tell you, but this is actually... This Fabergé egg is actually fake. I know you came here thinking it was worth 60 grand. It's actually not worth the cardboard it's on. The granny weeps. This is the last time I let you eat before recording.
I'm waiting for the drop. Yeah!
Boom! Yeah.
I'm swiftly writing up a resignation letter.
It's flawless.
If it's Mastercraft, did you shout an extra 300 to that price you just quoted?
I already did.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, I got it wrong. I hope I can get by on that one.
Yeah,
you ain't getting nothing past that position.
Damn, I really thought I got by. I just stonewall you and hope it works.